Welcome back to another Edge God In podcast. Thank you for pushing that pause button today to Edge God In, to your mind, your will, and those crazy emotions. Edge God In is the voice of the Emotional Intelligence in Christ Project. If you haven't visited us over there, please check us out. EmotionalIntelligenceInChrist.com. You'll find a book, a course, a six-week study guide, two assessments, and it's all meant to empower you with the Holy Spirit to become the boss of your emotions. It's amazing how our emotions can hijack a really good picnic, metaphorically speaking, in life. And as Dr. Pope says, the ants come marching in one by one, and those ants are ANTS. There's many of them. Automatic negative thoughts. And that what we're thinking pushes us into what we're doing. And that's our conversation. We're going to be jumping into that today because we have a lot of stinking thinking out there. I know I do. And I'll share a story with you today that just happened today, about 2 hours ago, that'll show you an example of that. So emotional intelligence in Christ is something that I believe we're all re-enrolled in every single day, coming back to remembering that it's not about us, it's about Christ within us. We've been put to death with Christ on the cross, and the more we try to take back the reins and think it is about us, using our own nature, right? Our will, our strengths, we claim our physical strength, our mental strength, and we often get hijacked emotionally in that space when we try to do life on our own. Jesus continually will allow us, God will allow us to go through training classes, right? He wants us to get our black belts. I remember when I was training for my black belts, my master trainer was an eighth degree black belt from Korea, Christian man. And he wouldn't settle for just half of a performance, right? Physically speaking, he would send me back to the mat, so to speak, many times to get it right, because he didn't want me to get hurt in the ring. And so he knew that it was the practice outside of the ring that would protect me when I was facing my opponent within the ring. God's no different, my friends. He wants to train us up outside of the ring with our mindset and our heart set on Christ, and our minds and our thoughts flowing from the mind of Christ within us to give us victory. Edge God In, being the voice of emotional intelligence in Christ, where do the topics come from? I actually had someone ask me that the other day. How do you come up with the topics every week? And I've mentioned this before. This is coming from my training for my spiritual black belts, which is daily, my friends, just saying. And I'm re-enrolled in classes all the time. I think I passed. Oh, I thought I passed that earth school class of patience. Nope, didn't. Thought I passed that earth school class of gossip. Nope, re-enrolled. And so God loves us enough and loves us right where we're at. He loves you right where you're at, and also loves you enough not to leave you there. So he allows these earth school classes to come our way to make us more like him. Why does he do this? So that we could be free. We can run and not grow weary. We can walk and not faint. So the topics actually come from my own spiritual warfare training out here in earth school. And by God's grace, my prayer is always, even before jumping on this podcast, I get on my knees and I commit it all to Christ, because I know if Jesus doesn't show up in the power of the Holy Spirit through me, then what you need to hear today to draw you closer to Jesus won't reach you. However, if I have a drop of his anointing on my intonation, words, and whatever he desires, how he puts this message through me today for you, then it's going to take you to where you need to be, where he wants you to be, to do his mighty work through you. And as we're reminded in Ephesians 3:20, the power that works within us is able to accomplish abundantly far more than we could ever ask or imagine. So are you feeling weary today? Are you feeling like you can't get out of your mind? You're needing to think and analyze and figure things out. That's a big one. I need to know this. I need to know the answer to this, God, so that I could be at peace. There's actually a podcast at Edge Got In on our need to know and how our need to know robs our peace. Stress is the power we give to outside circumstance to define our worth, value, and capability, which, as we know, has one owner, one creator. So we run to all the different shiny objects trying to figure that out. Who am I? Why am I here? Why does this matter? I need to figure this out in order to have peace. And Jesus just patiently waits. Let me know when you're done. Come on back, because he has everything we need. Everything we need for life and godliness. So thank you for pushing that pause button and joining us today. All of our podcasts are housed on the website edgegodin.com, edgegodin.com. And there's a search button, and you can put in a topic and see what comes up around that topic. A couple series we've done that might be interesting to you. One of them is on Don't Waste Your Suffering. So if you're going through a really tough time, there's a three-part series of that. Don't Waste Your Suffering. There's another one that we did on spiritual warfare, including an interview with an exorcist on spiritual warfare, how to have victory. And that had a couple, right after that one, there was a couple of follow-up podcasts we did on that. And then the four idols that Jesus wants to drive out of your temple. And that was a five-part series recently. So this is a three-part series or four-part, depending on what the Holy Spirit wants to do with this. We're continuing on, called Spring Clean Your Mind. I believe this is the third podcast in that series. And this one is entitled Spring Clean Your Mind, How to Think Like Jesus Thinks. How do I do that? I want to do that because I know if I'm thinking like Jesus, I won't have near the stress and the ants marching in one by one, automatic negative thoughts, because I will be tuning into the mind of Christ. So today, that's our conversation. We're going to be discussing and jumping into some scriptures and one book in particular that mentions the mind, knowing, thinking, different words that connect to the mind, approximately 26 times. 26 times. We have references in the book of Philippians. So Paul was a big fan, big fan of the mind. And no shocker there, my friends. As I've mentioned before, I do a lot of work in the neuroscience area with clients and reframing their false beliefs about self and how to basically use the gift of the mind to be able to lead to the fullness of life. And I work with a lot of different people and companies and teams. And it's amazing what happens in the mind when you change the way you look at things. As been said before in the past, the things you look at change. The quickest way to do that, which is since I was 17 and experienced this myself, when my mind shifted from being led by the flesh to being led by the spirit, Shazam, my perspective changed. And when I changed, when God, the Holy Spirit within me changed the way I was looking at things from the flesh to the spirit, that made all the difference in the outcomes that I experienced. Your attitude, by the way, flows from your mind, your thoughts. And so whether you think life is for you today or whether you think life is against you today, and that's a choice, a focus, that makes all the difference. Is life for me or against me? I don't know. You choose. You get to choose. That's free will on where you camp. And our invitation today is that you camp on Christ, camp on Jesus. Cool thing is we're going to learn two different things, two key elements that we are told that we have that give us the portal or the archway through which we walk and be able to grasp and live in the mind of Christ. Which is pretty cool. Dear God, help us to remember these two things we're going to learn today. Holy Spirit, I know that if you don't show up and pull all of these thoughts together in a way that listeners can understand and apply to draw them closer to you and be free from the earthly mind, the fleshly mind. God, there's so much turmoil that happens in that space when we allow our minds to be guided by the flesh versus by you, Holy Spirit. So give us victory. more today than yesterday, we give you permission to guide our flesh, as St. Augustine said, rather than allowing our flesh, our fleshly thoughts and thinking, to guide our spirit. We want life and peace. We want life and peace and strength in the midst of the battle. And that comes from having our mind controlled by you, Holy Spirit, dying to self and knowing that only in you, God, through the power of the Holy Spirit within us, is our strength and our victory. So may it be so, Lord. May it be so more today than yesterday. I pray for every listener that's tuning in today. I don't know where they're at today. Perhaps there are some listeners today, Lord, that are going through some very difficult things, challenges in life. And perhaps some of the listeners are dealing with challenges between their two ears, the mind, that's leading to depression, despair, hopelessness. And I know that you are aware of that. And you see them and you adored them. And you desire to refresh them today. So may the words of my mouth, meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, you are my rock, our rock and our redeemer. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. So thank you for tuning in once again, for pushing that pause button. And this is a powerful topic, my friends, because as a man or woman thinks, so is he or she. Whatever you choose to camp on and give power to, it grows. We learned that last week when we were talking about the reticular activating system, which is located by the brainstem. It's like a little lawyer. It will hunt and gather information based on your choice of focus, based on your choice of focus. So Paul is a rock star. You know, in one of my passions is neuroscience. I love learning about the mind and neurolinguistic programming and how we can, by God's grace and the help of the Holy Spirit, reprogram our thinking, our stinking thinking, what that looks like. Emotional intelligence in Christ has a lot of content in that area, simply because once we understand how God wired our brains together and how they work, what they focus on, what they don't, how to refocus our choice of attention, and how that can shift belief systems about self and self in relationship to the environment, we can re-anchor our sense of safety and connection, which only comes from our relationship with God within us. And so we're chunking it down in the Spring Clean Your Mind series today, is how to think like Jesus. How do we do that? As I mentioned, Paul's a rock star in this. Romans 12, 1 through 2, do not conform to this world. So what is it that you're conforming to today? What shiny object, pressure, peer pressure? There's a lot of peer pressure out there, my friends, telling you what you should be, what you shouldn't be, what you should think, what you shouldn't think. And we're not void of that, my adult friends on this podcast today. We are constantly bombarded by that, knowing the four ordinary activities daily that we learned from Father Vincent. Satan comes to deceive. Every day he's looking to deceive us in order to divide us, in order to divert our attention from God, and ultimately to discourage us. So if you're in a place of discouragement today, you've been hoodwinked. You've been hooked, and you're not alone. So let's remember a couple things today that are ours by promise. Through our baptism and our surrendering our lives to Christ, these are the ramifications of that relationship with Jesus. As I mentioned, there are approximately 26 references to the mind that Paul talks about just in the book of Philippians. I just went through the book of Philippians, and this is just my own personal going through. Any reference to the mind in the book of Philippians, I counted 26. You might count even more than that. Words like learning, understanding, worry, observing, thinking, forgetting, knowledge, insight, the mind, knowing, not knowing. These are his references in four chapters. Only four chapters. The book of Philippians is only four chapters long. The mind of Christ desires God and his will above all. When we are in the mind of Christ and we are camping there, we've got one desire. to do God's will above all. Now, we've got to be really careful in this space, my friends, because when we rely on our own nature, then it's only a matter of time before we will sin and fall. And then after we, by our own nature, sin, meaning any behavior that is apart from the behavior that God moves us to do that glorifies God, any behavior, whether it's gossip, whether it's lying, cheating, coveting, envying, jealousy, the list goes on and on. And there's always new expressions of that, depending on how you're wired. All of that is from your nature. And the nature is moved by our own will, our own emotions, big one, our own thinking patterns. This is our nature. And many times we'll fit God into our nature, right? In our minds. We'll say, well, God, you know, I'm really praying for this. I really pray for your blessing from this. I've been working really hard. And the scriptures say all hard work brings a profit. And I'm not seeing a profit here, but I'm going to keep muscling ahead because I know you've given me a lot of good talents. And I'm putting it out there. I'm putting it out there. I'm casting my net. We learned about that last time, the three things to focus on. Cast your net, trust in Jesus, be willing to course correct, and stop telling yourself story. And I'm doing all of that, God. And I'm coming up empty. I got jack squat. And so I'm going to continue to keep going because I'm going to trust in you and I know you're a good God. Now, notice how many times I said I. That's the nature. That's nature of the mind. That's my human nature, right? And I'm trying to fit God into that in the mind, setting our mind on our own abilities, talents, strengths. That's all the nature. Shame comes from nature, from our nature. Are you experiencing any shame today? Because that comes from our own nature. That's when we try to do something and accomplish something by our own effort and we fail. We've sinned. And then we find ourselves mucking around in a very dark, despairing place of shame. You're not alone, my friend. And the solution can be seen on the cross. Lord, I made a mistake. Remember me when you come into your kingdom. Today, you will be with me in paradise. There's one scene from Jesus of Nazareth by Franco Zeffirelli, one of my favorites. If you've never watched that one before, check that one out. It's an old one, but about 6 hours long. But I believe it goes to the book of Luke. And there's a scene of a woman who comes in and she uses the expensive perfume and is crying, and her tears are falling on Jesus' feet. And he's in there with Simon and they're judging this woman, knowing that she's a sinner. And Jesus says, "My daughter, your sins, though they are many, are forgiven. Go and sin no more." And she's weeping, and that just was a game changer. Literally shifted her mindset. Her mindset went from fleshly driven to driven by the Spirit, and she was set free. Jesus is still in this business, my friend. So she came in shame, but she allowed grace to rule over the voice of nature. Because nature will keep you in that little cave clinging to your ring. Can't believe I screwed up. I can't believe I betrayed God. I can't believe I denied him three times. I can't, whatever it is. I can't believe what? What have you done? What can't you believe you've done? Because you know what? God can believe you can do that because he knows the nature. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. I think the most twisted times in my mind that Satan has had a heyday with is in this area. I can't believe I betrayed you, God. How can I do that? I love you. I'm so sorry I did this, but yet I'm still in the chains of shame. And that's where Satan wants you. He wants you to stay in discouragement. I heard something recently on the difference between shame and guilt. Guilt says I made a mistake. And let's put this in a Christian context. Guilt, God will often use guilt to move your mind to the awareness of, I screwed up, Lord. I'm so sorry. Help me to do better. That was wrong. I made a mistake. I want to begin again. I'm the prodigal son, daughter. I'm coming back. I want to begin it again. Come, let's begin again. 100 times a day. His call is always go and sin no more. He desires for us to be free from the sin. Why? Because he knows it enchains us, it imprisons us. Shame says, I am a mistake. Guilt says, I made a mistake. I think that was Brené Brown that had mentioned that, but I've read some other things that were about 100 years ago, same kind of thinking, the difference between shame and guilt. And that's in the mind, my friends. So perhaps you're imprisoned by that in your mind. Today, Jesus desires to set you free from that. And I don't know why I kind of just went off trail there, did a little off-road on that, because that's not even in my notes. But I was moved to bring that one up today for some reason. So perhaps that's for you. Let's begin again here. Let's set your mind on grace, not on your own abilities. Because when you come to the end of yourself, then God will set you free. So 1 Corinthians 2:16 is a big one for a reminder. Also in that area, Isaiah 40:13 is a reference in 1 Corinthians 2:16. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Our lives exist in Christ. Our mind exists in Christ, my friend. Jesus died for us that we may that he might live in us. Our lives are now in union with him, which means we have the mind of Christ. What? Yeah. You have the mind of Christ. I have the mind of Christ. Galatians 2:20, I've been put to death with Christ on the cross, so it's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives with me. So I'm not living by my human nature anymore. I did that, been there, done that. I'm living by the Spirit of God within me. I'm living under grace, grace by grace by grace. How much quicker can I return today than yesterday when I fall? Not if, but when. And how long can I stay? Dear God, help me to understand this, to observe this, to think about this, as Paul talks about in Philippians. That's your homework, by the way. Read through Philippians. Only 4 chapters, my friends. Be aware of how many references to the mind, including thinking, forgetting, observing, worrying, and how he speaks about it. How do we think like Jesus? Embrace what is already within you, my friends, through your baptism and the confession of your faith in Jesus Christ of Nazareth. You have the Holy Spirit, the same Spirit that rose Jesus from the grave, lives in you. This is scriptural. The Spirit of God, who raised Jesus from the dead, lives in you. Romans 8:11. Just as God rose Jesus from the dead, he will raise and give life to our mortal bodies because of his Spirit that's living within us. So, one way to really start to resurrect or make your flesh come under authority of this same Spirit that rose Jesus from the grave is to meditate on the Word of God. Psalm 1, I read that several times a week, Psalm 1, because it gives such a powerful promise. He who meditates on the word of God day and night will be like a tree deeply planted with green leaves, and everything they do will prosper. So, what is our solution from our own nature being ruled by the flesh? Our invitation today is moving away from the mind controlled by the flesh and leaning into the mind that is controlled by the Spirit. And that is the mind of Christ. Romans 8:11. Meditate on God's word day and night. The more you conform your mind to his mind through his word, your thoughts to his thoughts, your choices to his thoughts about you and his will, the more you will think like Jesus. The Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, my friend, today. Have you accepted Christ as your personal Lord and Savior? Rededicate yourself to him today. Take a moment to do that. Lord, I rededicate my life to yours, and I am sorry for everything that I have done that is apart from your desire for me. Now, moving forward, I give you permission to override my tendencies in my human nature, my thoughts ruled by the flesh. Give me the grace to live with my mind controlled by the Holy Spirit. This is the Spirit that lives in us, Lord, and we thank you. So we rededicate our lives to you today. Use us to do your mighty work. In Jesus' name we pray, amen, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. So two times in Romans 8:11, we're told that his Spirit lives in us. The Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you. And then it ends at the end of that verse. He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of his Spirit living in you. So he's reaffirming it. And this is just one verse, my friends. There's so much reference to this. But Romans 8:11 says it two times. And so because Paul talks so much about the mind and the mind that's controlled by the flesh versus the spirit, or the nature versus the Holy Spirit within us, he speaks about in Philippians chapter 2, five different things that are connected to the mind of Christ: encouragement, consolation, compassion, sympathy, and contentment. You can read it for yourselves. Philippians chapter 2. If there is any encouragement in Christ, consolation from love, any sharing in the Spirit, and any compassion or sympathy, make my joy complete, being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. He talks so much about being one mind. He says it three times, actually, in the first couple of verses in chapter 2. Let us look not to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ. So I love this invitation because it's again, we have a choice here. Let, meaning you cannot let. But today I'm inviting you, my friend, let the mind of Christ rule your thoughts. Let it. It's already there. You have the mind of Christ. We're told we have the mind of Christ. We're told in scriptures that you have the same spirit that rose Jesus from the dead. I remember learning this in college and thinking, what? I have the same spirit that rose Jesus Christ of Nazareth from the dead living in me? So let's up our confidence in our victory over the mind. Remember those bracelets, and perhaps you don't. This was a while ago, if you're a little younger than myself. And either way, there were these bracelets that was a real fad for a while, and they said WWJD, what would Jesus do? And perhaps they're still out there. What would Jesus do? Great little reminder. And in neuroscience and neurolinguistic programming, they refer to that as an anchor. You have something physical to remind you of a spiritual concept or a new belief changer that you're focusing on, some kind of anchor to remind you, because we get hijacked by those shiny objects to remind you, oh, that's right. What would Jesus do in this situation? Well, I propose today, let's make a new bracelet that says, what would Jesus think? What would Jesus think? And I say this very intentionally because our doing is a result of our thinking. What we think about directs what we do. So our doing is a result of our thinking. What we think about directs what we do. And our behavior towards other people and towards ourselves come from what we're thinking about. So what would Jesus think? Think on that first. What would he think about this situation? What would he think in this situation? How would he respond in this situation based on what he would be thinking about? Well, know this, as we're told in Philippians, he's always looking for encouraging, consolation toward other people, compassionate, even on the cross when he was in severe pain. Today you will be with me in paradise. He's always sympathizing, and he's always content because he knows who's ultimately in charge here. Contentment. That's another podcast. How do I get it? How do I keep it? So let the same mind be in you that was in Jesus. And we're told in chapter 2 that he emptied himself. He was a slave. He humbled himself. He was obedient. Therefore, God exalted him. Every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. It's awesome. Awesome stuff. Don't think about yourself. Think about God's will for you. Love each other. God's will for you. Think on that. God, what would you want me to think? How do you want me to think about this situation? Guide my thoughts. So, what we think about directs what we do, our behavior towards others, how we choose to spend our time and focus throughout the day. As we remember two things, I'm going to share two things with you at closing of this podcast. We increase our ability to think like Jesus. One, remember this, who's you are. This is the first phase of emotional intelligence in Christ. That's why in the 6-week study guide journey of emotional intelligence in Christ, 6-week study guide, we spend 2 weeks. The first 2 weeks of that journey are anchoring your identity in Christ, really getting back to whose you are, remembering that you have the same spirit, my friend, that rose Jesus from the dead, and he lives in you. We are the handiwork of God, adored, loved, sought after. Remember whose you are and that you have the same spirit that rose Jesus from the dead. Two, remember you have the mind of Christ. As a follower of Christ, I dedicate my life to you, Jesus. Help me to think like you. 1 Corinthians 2:16. And remembering the truth of Romans 8:6, the mind that is governed or controlled by the flesh is death. The mind controlled by the spirit is life and peace. The mind controlled by the flesh is death. The mind controlled by the spirit is life and peace. Let's end with chapter 4 in Philippians. And this is a very popular verse I memorized quite a long time ago. This is kind of just a little side story I mentioned I would share today that just happened 2 hours ago. So my husband had a heart attack about a year ago. Thanks be to God. It was the Widowmaker. I shared it in a previous podcast. We were working out. And he started complaining of pain in his left side and jaw. Long story short, he ended up having a 85-90% block in the Widowmaker. And if we hadn't been led by the Holy Spirit to get him in, he wouldn't be here today. He would be with the Lord. So thanks be to God, he's still here. So we were going for a test, kind of an ultrasound thing to check his arteries and how things were going today. So we were just there, and the technician, and I'm doing this training, right, for my spiritual black belt in the area of allowing Jesus to be my guidance in my thoughts today. What would Jesus think? And I'm sitting there watching this guy do this test, and I'm noticing his behavior. I love people, and I love just observing behavior. And he seems reserved, right? These are judgments from my observations. And he was very quick in answering some of our questions. And how does the left side look? Ah, it looks okay, but your doctor will help you out on that. And then I ask another question. Well, how do we know about, the heart where they put the stent in the Widowmaker? And I said, can you do an ultrasound on that? He goes, why do you think I can't do an ultrasound on that? And so I said, I don't know. I'm not in this field, which is why I'm asking. And so immediately after that, I said to God, Jesus, help me to think like you with this person. And if there's any word of encouragement or any guidance or sentence stem I can say to guide them into a place of joy today, use my mouth. And so I'm sitting there, and all of a sudden he mentions my husband's t-shirt that said something about fishing. And so God put that thought on my mind, asking about fishing. So I said, are you a fisherman? And literally that one question shifted his entire mood from lights off to lights on. So God knows what to say and the thought to think and then act upon. Always, we just simply need to ask for it. And then he spoke for about 20 minutes straight, pulled up his phone, showed us Facebook pictures, was laughing. By the time he left, he started out with saying, well, it's okay. By the time he left, he was patting my husband on the back, smiling, saying, you should join our group. And he had literally transformed before our eyes. And he said, you're great. He goes, everything looks great. I'm sure your doctor will say it looks fine too. Totally changed his entire perspective. And so that's through the prompting of the Holy Spirit. He's constantly wanting to do that for us as we remember we have the same spirit that rose Jesus from the dead, and we have the mind of Christ. So he knows the questions to ask. that's kind of a little side story to show you how just being in that attentiveness, not in your own nature, right? Because the own nature, I could feel my own human nature kind of getting defensive, like, dude, this is my husband. And can you give him a, throw him a bone here? Give him a little hope. He's, you know, just 1 year out after a heart attack. I can hear my human nature, fleshly thoughts just coming in and wanting to kind of pounce on him like a mama bear. But then I pulled back and I'm like, okay, God, I really want to master this mind thing and know that I have your mind. How would you think in this situation? And how would you, how do you want me to act based on your thinking? And that's when he gave me a sound bite. And it changed everything. My husband and I were more like in awe. We're like, did you see that transformation? Like literally went from lights off to lights on. And the Holy Spirit's the one that gets the credit for that, giving us that guidance. So ending here with Philippians chapter 4, 4 through, let's see, 4 through 8, verses 4 through 8. Rejoice in the Lord always. I say it again, rejoice. Do let your gentleness be known to everyone, even if they're not responding nicely to you. That's the mind of Christ. The Lord is near. Do not worry about anything. That is the mind of Christ. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, that's the mind of Christ. With thanksgiving, the mind of Christ, let your requests be made known to God. Constant prayer, mind of Christ, spirit of Christ. And the peace of God, the ramification of the mind of Christ, which surpasses all human understanding, right? So when I was diagnosed with advanced cancer and given 5 years to live, 1 week prior to my final divorce court date with three young children, 8, 10, and 12, I came to the end of my nature. God had blessed me with a lot of strength, my friends. I'd won a medal in the Colorado State Championship in Taekwondo, World Taekwondo. I had created and launched my own company, right? My own company. I had won, me, myself, and mine. All human nature, right? Nature driven, not grace driven. Finally, God got me to the end of myself when I came to the end of my own strength and I had nothing. That was the best juris school class ever because I moved from nature to grace. There's an excellent book out there by Chizik. I think it's Czek, called He Leadeth Me. And he was a prisoner of war for over a decade. And he had that same experience. He moved from nature to grace when he came to the end of himself. And we have that opportunity in our minds. Much of our minds, our mindly turmoil, I don't even know if that's a word, comes from trying to do life by ourselves with our own strength. And Jesus will continually sign us up for earth school classes so that we can get over ourselves. Humility is not to think less of yourself, but to think of yourself less, as C.S. Lewis says brilliantly. So the peace of God, which surpasses and transcends all of our own understanding, will guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Hearts and minds. Other thing I learned in my studies is that we have brain cells in our heart. So you can actually think from your heart. So Jesus is after all of our brain cells. He wants us to exist in him and allow his mind, his spirit, to govern our mind and our heart. Because when that happens, then we can embrace our last scripture here today. Philippians 4:8. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, good, beautiful, excellent, praiseworthy, commendable, anything worthy of praise, think about such things. That's a job for Jesus. The only way I know that when I was going through intense suffering for 5 years, on and off, very dark places at times, that for me to be able to think about what is true, good, beautiful, excellent, praiseworthy, that's the mind of Christ, by the way. You want to know the mind of Christ? It's Philippians 2:1 and it's Philippians 4:8. Encouragement, consolation, compassion, sympathy. Whatever is good, right, true, beautiful, excellent, and praiseworthy. And God says that we can think about these things even when we're in chains. That's why He leadeth me is so powerful for me. because Father Chisick was prisoner of war for over a decade, and he went through a betrayal and didn't do what he wanted to do, just as Peter did, just as Judas did. Judas stayed in nature and took his life. Peter moved toward grace and was standing in the book of Acts, declaring the word of God. But he also says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling, because he was humiliated. He did feel guilt, but he didn't stay in shame. He made a mistake. He knew with Christ's grace, he could be redeemed from that mistake. Judas stayed in his human nature and died in shame. Stay out of shame, my friends. If you make a mistake, go to the cross as quickly as possible. I'm sorry, Lord. I want to begin again. Give me your mind to think like you think. I know that I have your mind and your spirit lives within me. Yet my nature, my human nature, as Paul talks about in Romans 7, I know what I want to do. I don't do what I want to do. I keep doing the sin that lives within me. Who will save me? Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Thanks be to God. He will save us. So, my friends, Philippians, the book of Philippians, over 26 times the reference to the mind. Remember that you have the same spirit that rose Jesus from the dead. Remember that you have the mind of Christ. WWJT. What would Jesus think? Our doing is a result of our thinking. And when we think with the mind of Christ, our doing ends up glorifying God. When we think from our own nature in the flesh, as Paul says, that leads to death. Nothing good happens in that space, believe me. I've had so many Earth School classes that have taught me that. But when we have the mind of Christ, that's when all things become possible. Give him heaven out there, my friends. And if you're inspired by this podcast, by the way, share it with one person that you feel that this would encourage them today. One person that you feel that this message could draw them closer to Christ and empower them if they're going through a difficult time. Or if you feel that perhaps they're seeking and wanting to find. Keep praying for me, and I will pray for you. I look forward to our next podcast together. Give them heaven out there. God bless you.